Good evening all. Welcome to this Kingborough Council meeting. It's the 11th of May 2020 and for the second time we are broadcasting live via Facebook. Every councillor is sitting in their own homes in line with a COVID-19 request to stay home. So we had a pretty good effort at our last council meeting of keeping it all together, and I think we got through it okay, and we're hoping that tonight will be even smoother and that you can follow along at home. Of course, you can go to the Kingborough Council website if you'd like to read the agenda and follow along with what we're talking about and read the reports for yourself. So I officially declare this meeting open. I welcome everyone who's watching online and advise that this council meeting is obviously being recorded because you're watching online on Facebook, and it's also made publicly available with audio on our website and also with audio and video on our Facebook page. The next item on our agenda tonight is the acknowledgement of our traditional custodians, and I'd like to pay our council's respect to the traditional and original custodians of this land, the Mulwinina people. I acknowledge the contemporary Tasmanian Aboriginal community who have survived invasion and dispossession and continue to maintain and fight for their identity, their culture and Indigenous rights. Attendees this evening. Now, I'll go through this fairly carefully because I haven't heard from everyone yet. So this evening we have myself, Councillor Winter, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Fox, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street, who I haven't heard from yet.
He is present.
He's online. G'day, Christian. Councillor Watts, are you there with us, Councillor Watts?
I'm with you, Mayor.
Yes, Steve. And also Councillor Reet. You with us? And Councillor Reet is not yet with us, but I'm sure she will be logging on fairly soon. Okay, from our staff this evening, we have our Deputy General Manager, who's also acting as General Manager this evening, Tony Ferrier, our Executive Manager of Engineering Services, David Reeve, our Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services is Daniel Smee, our Manager of Finance is Tim Jones, our Manager of Development Services is Tasha Tyler Moore, our Senior Capital Works Manager is Craig Reed, our Communications and Engagement Advisor is Sarah Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant is Amanda Morton. Apologies this evening. I know Councillor Reet is coming this evening, so she won't be an apology, and I'm sure she'll be logging on shortly, and that'll be
minutes. I'm here, Mayor. Apologies.
G'day, Councillor Reet. So Councillor Reet has arrived at 5:34 p.m. First substantive item is the confirmation of minutes, and there's a recommended motion on page one that says that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting Number 7 held on the 27th of April 2020 be confirmed as a true record. Would someone like to move?
Moved
by Councillor Fox.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councillor Bastone. Thank you, Councillor Bastone. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 And those against, I'll leave it for a second in case there's any noes. There being no noes, the motion is carried unanimously. The next item is workshops held since the last council meeting, and on the 4th of May we held a budget workshop. The next item is declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest they'd like to declare this evening?
I do.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I declare an interest in DA 2018-657, the development application at 26 Groningen Road, and I intend to leave the room when the matter's discussed. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Fox. To those at home, normally a council meeting the councillor would leave the room, as it sounds, but given the situation we're in, Councillor Fox indicated she'll go on mute and appear off screen, so she can't influence that particular item, which is the best we can do in these circumstances. Is there any other declarations of interest this evening? There are none. So the next item is the transfer of agenda items. Does any councillor wish to transfer an agenda item this evening? There being no applications, we move on to questions without notice from the public. We obviously don't have a traditional gallery set up in these circumstances. We don't have any questions without notice that have been put to us. Just for those watching on, if you would like to put a question on notice in future, you can always email council with a question on notice, and that'll be included in the next agenda item, in the next agenda. The next item is questions on notice from the public, and there's one question on, sorry, there are three questions on notice from the public. There's termination of employment due to COVID-19. The second question is entering into consultation before any changes made in the workplace. And the third question is explore other duties before standing down any staff. All those questions are written in the agenda, and they're all from Mr. Aaron De La Torre from the Australian Services Union, and they've all been responded to by our General Manager, Gary Arnold. So we now move to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice?
I have a question without notice.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just wondering, in line with the roadmap to recovery announced by the Tasmanian government recently, on the 18th of May, it notes that park exercise equipment and playgrounds restrictions will be lifted. Does Kingborough Council have any plans to reopen our playgrounds on the 18th of May?
Mr. Ferrier or Mr. Smee?
Mr. Smee, I suggest.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, we do intend to reopen our playgrounds on that date. Advice will be provided to the public in relation to the fact that those playgrounds are unable to be disinfected, so it's very much a use at your own risk, but the playgrounds will be reopened.
Thank you.
Do you have a further question without notice, Councillor Westwood?
There's the one.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Reeks. Councillor Reeks, you had a question without notice?
Sorry, I thought you could hear me.
I can now.
I was talking, I was in full flight, thank you. I've got three questions. The first one is in relation to the Tasmanian Planning Commission review that's underway at the moment. I note that consultation on this review closes on the 15th of May, which is in fact this Friday. And that there are some significant issues that could, if they were enacted and changes made to the Tasmanian Planning Commission, could prevent communities in the future from having sufficient say on planning matters. And indeed, I'd go so far as to say could also influence council's position to be able to do that. I'm wondering if council staff have prepared a response to the consultation on this matter that closes on Friday.
Mr. Ferrier or Ms. Tollemore?
Through you, Mayor. I think the council is referring to the major projects bill that has been out for public consultation, which is a, I guess, proposed legislation which is reviewing the projects of regional significance. Council has not commented on that. I understand the Government Association and Hobart Council have commented, but Kingborough Council has not submitted a comment.
Can I ask why it wasn't put forward for councillors to have the opportunity to ask for us to have input? and make response on behalf of council?
Yes, through you, Mayor. This is the third round of consultation. So there's been two previous rounds of consultation. Council hasn't submitted any comments on that, but we were happy with the comments which were made by another government association in those previous rounds. So there wasn't felt to be any need to do so. The actual legislation itself is not greatly different to what's already in the major projects legislation. It's really refining what's required for projects of regional significance. So it's quite consistent with what's already in place.
Thank you. Another question on notice. I understand that the member for Nelson, Meg Webb, had recently submitted a question to the government in relation to the Housing Land Supply Huntingfield Order. And I just had a couple of queries about some of the responses from the Minister for Housing, Roger Yesh. Firstly, he indicated, and his response was dated the 30th of April, and we're a couple of weeks down the track from that, he indicated that that both residents and key stakeholders, so I assume ourselves as a key stakeholder, would receive some more information in the draft master plan in, he said, the coming weeks. So I'm just wondering if we've received that yet.
Mr. Berry.
Through you, Mayor, I'm not aware of any anything that's been received, so I'd have to answer no, we haven't seen anything since that advice from the Minister.
Okay. And I'm not sure whether you're able to answer this one, Mr. Ferrier, whether you've got any knowledge of this, but I'm just wondering if we are aware how much time both council and other stakeholders and residents would be given to respond to the draft master plan, given that we know that the consultation process for this whole project has been woefully inadequate from the start. I'm just wondering if we're aware how much time is being allowed.
Through you, Mayor. No, we're not. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything that's been set. So it's possibly something that council can dictate to some extent, that we can say that we need a certain amount of time. But no, there's nothing being set.
Thank you. Can we be assured that as soon as council receives the draft master plan from the minister that we're able to see that as councillors so that we can begin looking at it, please. Another question just on the Huntingfield development. I noticed that in the minister's response he did indicate, and in part six of his answer, that civil works on, and I quote, a new roundabout off Channel Highway would start in 2021. And I just wanted to know if staff could confirm, is that the smaller roundabout that is proposed to be built alongside the current Fork in the Road roundabout?
I asked this question today and the answer is no. It's the Mr. Reid, you can give a better answer, I'm sure.
Through you, Mayor. No, that's the one a little bit south of that, which comes directly onto where the Huntingfield development will be. So that's what they're referring to there. The other roundabout you're talking about, which is near the Fork in the Road, forms part of the discussions that were held as part of the Channel Highway Corridor study. And that study is still not finalised yet. It'll be going out to public comment shortly.
Thanks, Mr. Reid. So can you just clarify, is it south of, so it's on the Channel Highway, but it's past the Fork in the Road. So when you start to drive towards Margate, how far along there is it?
From memory, it's somewhere probably about 300-400 metres away from there.
So somewhere near the church.
Somewhere near that area, yeah.
Thank you. And just one last question as well. In relation to the Whitewater track, I know that the Whitewater Creek track was severely damaged in the May 2018 floods, and there have been sections of it that have been remediated, and I have to say very well indeed, like the bridges, for example, have been very, very well done and other sections of it. But I just wanted to draw to Mr. Reid's attention, just there's a section of it which is south of Leicester Crescent. It's just before the underpass that goes under the southern outlet. And there's a section there, and look, I'm really bad at judging distances, so I couldn't tell you how long it is, but maybe 20 metres or 25 metres. That's broken bitumen, it's potholes, it's deep cracks. It's been really patched over a long period of time. It just seems to have slipped through the net in terms of being resolved once we had the floods. And it's a very heavily used section of track, and I just noticed over the weather on the weekend, as more people are out and about on it, it's very difficult for cyclists, but particularly for anybody who's not as able-bodied as anyone else, somebody with a mobility device. It's very rough pavement, and I just wanted to draw that to Mr. Rowe's attention and ask if we could have a look at that in context of some remedial works.
Mr. Reeve.
That's brilliant, Mayor. Yeah, we'll have that one investigated and actioned.
Thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. In light of the recent announcement by the British government to invest some £2 billion in cycling infrastructure, the premise being that as a result of the COVID crisis, there will be a significant diminution in the number of people using public transport. Do you or a council staff member have any comment on whether or not Kingborough will be looking to increase its level of advocacy for public transport or for cycling lanes, rather, in the Kingborough municipality?
I think this is dealt with a little, well, it is in our agenda this evening, although admittedly that's bottom up from our cycling committee to council, but I think a good initiative is not only our membership of organisations like Cycling South and having a bicycle committee, but using the city deal for this type of investment would be, well, would have been a good idea anyway, but appears to be an even better idea now. We have included in our discussions with the Department of State Growth and the Minister a request that we receive some funding to do a bicycle study or to do a strategy around cycling, and that's a result of Councillor Midgley's and also Councillor Fox and the cycling committee doing just talking about this quite a bit, and I think that sort of study would be a good start. So that has been included in some of our discussions. They're still ongoing, but I'm pretty confident that as a starting point we can come up with a strategy to assist us as we drive cycling infrastructure going forward.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any further questions without notice?
Are you there, Mayor?
Councillor Grace.
Just two questions. Now, Mr. Reeves is there and the works manager. Middleton Esplanade. I had another phone call this afternoon about the washout not far from the boat ramp. I do know that I was told that some of our council workers were down there last week. They had a truckload of gravel, but they certainly never potholed in that area. But there's no barricades up, as this is now in the Capital Works program for this financial year coming up. Surely they must open their eyes and see that it needs some sort of a barricade around it before a car rolls into the river there. I wonder if Mr. Reeves could take it on notice.
Mr. Reeves.
Through you, Mayor, yes, happy to actually investigate that one in action if required.
Thank you very much. And my second question, again, is to Mr. Reeves or the Manager of Works. When determining what sections of roads and that are in bad condition, so they go out and mark white lines on for some digging and some hot mixing, when's the stage where it's the road is beyond that? A good example is I spoke to the Mayor today about, and I've had more phone calls on this late this afternoon, is Conyngham Road going into Conyngham Beach. particularly the piece up the top of the hill that needs, it's just fallen to pieces. It's beyond repair. If Mr. Rees could have a look at that, please.
Mr. Reeve.
Yes, for you, Mayor. Look, happy to have a look at that one. I guess a more general comment back is to actually say that each road's actually looked at on its own merits there, so in some occasions there it requires more major work. On other occasions there, even though it may require more major work, sometimes temporary work is done just to hold that road in condition. But quite happy to look at that particular example you've actually got there and just see if anything immediate needs to be done.
Thank you so much.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to thank Councillor Root for the questions that she's asked on Huntingfield. I've just got a further question regarding Mr. Ferrier's comment in regards to the comment around if Council sets the required amount of time for the consultation. I'm just wondering if perhaps then if Council should write to Minister Jentsch actually stating how much consultation period time we would like to have, and perhaps detailing what that consultation should look like so that it does actually include the voices of the community and they have enough time to provide input.
Mr. Ferrier or Ms. Tyler Moore?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I'm happy to do that. I mean, it might be interesting to sound out the department as well to see what their expectations on their consultation is, because it's actually them that's doing the consultation, not necessarily us. So, yes, happy to do that.
Thank you. And just a further question in regards to the budget. I noted on a social media post that it has gone out for public comment. I'm just wondering what that consultation looks like.
You're talking about Huntingfield?
Sorry, in regards to the budget?
Oh, the budget. Okay. Look, it's on our say page. In fact, the best answer would come from Ms. Wilcox. Ms. Wilcox, are you there and able to respond?
Through you, Mayor, we published the budget for public comment, so people can ask questions or raise concerns they have over it. As the Mayor's statement says on our website, we do have obviously quite a lot of limitations owing to the current pandemic situation. So we've got 4 weeks. Anyone can ask any questions on the OurSay platform or as well in writing if they are unable to access that.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions without notice from councillors? Okay, there appear to be none. So I'll move on to questions on notice from councillors. First one was on readdressing the council building surveying services from Councillor Grace with a response on page 4. Also from Councillor Grace is a cost of vandalism to a grader. And the third question is from Councillor Street, which is in regards to gardens removed within road reserves. And question 4 is from Councillor Bastone about the opening of the Kingston Beach Dog Beach. Question 5 is Kingbra's transition to the new statewide planning scheme from myself. Question 6 is on the reopening of the Beretta reuse shop from Councillor Bastone. Question 7, also from Councillor Bastone, is on the maintenance of council land at Wolves Road. Projects bill on there on page 7. And with that, the open session of council is now adjourned and the planning authority will commence at 5:55 p.m. The first item is the officer's reports to the planning authority in DA 2018-657, development application for 4 multiple dwellings, one existing at 26 Groningen Road, Kingston. Just remind all councillors, we are now sitting as a planning authority. Would someone like to move or second this motion?
I'll move it, Mayor.
Are you there, Mayor?
Yes, moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. The development application is a mobile dwelling application that's been recommended by staff for approval. As councillors will note, there were representations opposing the proposal. However, the advice that we have from our planners is that those representations have been adequately dealt with in the application or within the conditions proposed for the application. Obviously, it's an area where we accept there's going to be some infill development, or sorry, some multiple residential development, and that's an area that is acceptable for this use, and that otherwise the application meets the terms of the planning scheme. Pleasing to see there that we are going to protect the very high conservation value tree that's been identified there, and making sure that we do that, as well as being able to progress the development, which is, from my perspective, most pleasing that we're able to approve an application that seeks to do both. I otherwise commend the application to council.
Next, Councillor Street. Further comments or questions on this item?
I have a question, or Councillor several questions. Thank you very much. My questions relate to fencing within the property. It says the existing 1.2 metre high timber paling front fence is to be retained. Well, it's really falling down. But the thing that interests me is that it's recommended that it will be relocated so it aligns with the correct front boundary location. I'm wondering how far out from the front boundary it is, because one of the questions is that, or one of the statements is that once it's realigned, it will give better sight line. I'm just wondering exactly how far back it has to go. That's the first part of my question.
Ms. Thomas.
Through you, Mayor, the plans indicate on page 33 the location of the fence. It's only marginally out. It's less than a metre, and it's not the whole fence, it's only part of the fence. But it will be required to be relocated onto their proper property boundary.
Thank you. The next one is that I want to ask a question about is the internal fence is proposed to be constructed within the waterway and coastal protection area. This internal fence, what is it proposed to be constructed by, and how close will it be to the back units?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I'm just having a look at the plans that I've got in front of me. I've got a typical fence elevation. It just looks like your standard paling fence. There's no special treatment. And insofar as how close are they to the back units, it's presumed that it would go along the rear boundary of the property, because it's just a property. It's just an ordinary boundary fence.
What it actually says is it occurs on part of the site, and an internal fence is proposed to be constructed within this part of the site. So I took that as meaning it wasn't an actual boundary fence.
Oh.
That's on page 15. So.
Through you, Mayor, it's that the overlay itself occurs within the site. So the part of the overlay enters into the back of the property. It doesn't just stop at the back of the property. So that's what it would be referring to.
Okay, thank you. And the last one, also about fencing, is that the bound on page 18, the second last paragraph, it asks the proposed development is contained within the lot boundary, and it's talking about the fence that contains it. It says this fence must be solid a height of 1.8 metres and constructed of non-combustible material. So that means they can't actually have a wooden side fence, does it?
Ms. Collymore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, it would need to be non-combustible material, so it's more likely to be a colour bond or similar branding type of fence for that.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thanks, Councillor Bathside. Do any other councillors have a contribution to make?
Yes, please, Mayor.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. I just wanted to make note, and Councillor Street did also make note of this in regards to the nine representations. This is quite a good amount, I guess, really, in regards to a development that we have seen. And I think the reason, well, one of the reasons that I'm aware of why the representations are in is because, you know, there has been a rapid rate of infill development in this part of Kingston. And residents, you know, do have concern around the issues of traffic, around, you know, people looking into their backyards where they once had properties, where they had vista views and they had privacy and things like that. So it is as well an issue that we do face as council, as we have an increasing number of infill developments in our community. People have concerns that I know are not aware, are not part of us to make decisions on in regards to a planning authority, in regards to the place they came to live, I guess, is really changing. So I just wanted to make note of that. I do note that it does meet the planning authority guidelines in the general residential area. I just had a couple of questions. One of them was in regards to open space, and again, that comes to with the increasing infill development, how do we take note of that in regards to the decreasing of open space that these infill developments have, noting that Firthside has a very small and quite an ageing playground, and there is less and less areas, I guess, for children to play. Does it all, any of these sort of subdivisions, any of these developments, have to put any funds towards open space?
Ms. Solomon.
Through you, Mayor, public open space contributions are limited to subdivisions only, as is permitted under the acts that we do planning under. There's not a requirement for public open space contributions for multi-dwelling developments, although it may be arguable that it does match up with an increased demand on the services and infrastructure in the area, but the power doesn't exist currently under LUPA. With respect to the comment about the playground not being as good as it could be, that's not something dealt with under the planning application. That's a matter for council to deal with and to do with the open space policy, which the councillors are obviously all familiar with, and the priorities of that. So it's separate to the planning assessment. If the site becomes strata titled, whereby it's similar to a subdivision, but it's a strata, and it goes around each lot. Again, it doesn't allow us to take funds or public open space contributions for that, although it's something certainly councils would advocate for and have made comments about before in the past to the state government that it would be appropriate that those funds can be obtained through planning permits.
Thank you. A couple of questions in regards to the recommendations. The one regarding protection of the tree, recommended to protection of the tree, low impact methods. So rather than big, you know, biggers going in there, it's recommended that there's low impact methods to protect the tree. I'm just wondering, how can we ensure that this happens?
Ms. Solomon.
Through you, Mayor, the planning permit conditions require that a plan is submitted, and that plan is includes the advice from an arborist as well to make sure that the methodology is correct. In terms of ensuring it, if we have the ability to observe it, we will, and we can do that as part of the start work status as well. It can be a trigger for us to go and look at. But also, given the number of properties that we have, we do rely on the public as well from time to time, just if they see something that's, I mean, obviously they wouldn't necessarily be familiar with the details of the plan, but if there was something very obvious, that was occurring under a tree, then we can always go out and investigate as well.
Thank you. A point in regards to the recommendation regarding the privacy screening, noting that it is 1.7 metres, how at all could that be changed to 2.5 metres just to give further visual and privacy protection for the adjacent landowners?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, the planning scheme only stipulates 1.7 and that's an acceptable height to prevent overlooking, and that's nationally accepted. If it wanted to be negotiated to go to 2.5, it could have been done as a negotiation with the applicant at the time of considering it, or even if they wanted to discuss it with the applicant and they were forthcoming, they could do that because we're just asking for a minimum height of that screening. But there's not capacity for us to condition the planning permit, or it would be unwise for us to condition the planning permit to incorporate that because it's beyond what the planning scheme requires.
Okay, so in saying that, there's really nothing that can be done now. Could the adjacent landowners at all contact the developer and request that, or is that too late for that now?
Through you, Mayor, they certainly can contact them, that's off their own back. It's not something we recommend, or as in we don't not recommend either. We don't partake in it. They can always discuss it with them. Like I said, so long as they meet our minimum requirement of 1.7, if they go higher, it's possible. But whether the developer would want to do that or not is up to them. And also we need to consider the whether it's structurally sound to have something that high. It depends on what the material is. That's a building matter under the Building Act, whether it would be structurally sound or not, or what bracing would be required for that. It's likely the developer would also consider the costs associated with that, or the amenity impact on the people using that space, having such a high wall next to them, what the amenity impact is on that, depending on the scale of the space that it's affecting.
Thank you. And just another question in regards to the privacy and screening there. Is that something that is to be kept there for the term of the building? So at any time, if a new owner moved in, could they remove that screening?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, no, they can't. The planning permit stays with the property for all time. So if new owners go in there and were to remove it, then they'd be in breach of the indoor planning drawings. And we appreciate, obviously, we can't keep an eye on 37,000 properties. So we do rely in part on neighbours noticing it, reporting to council, and then we can investigate. From time to time, we do check compliance with conditions if we think there's an issue, or certainly if officers themselves notice them. But no, they can't go and remove it. It does need to stay on the erected wherever it is for as long as that house is there.
Thank you.
Further speakers.
I'd like to speak briefly, Mayor.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I have enormous sympathy for the people who expressed their opposition to this type of development, and those 9 representations on this proposal are covered well in the report. It is a fact that as development takes place, as populations increasing, Kimberley is indeed one of the fastest growing population areas in the state, that infill development needs to take place and will take place in urban regions. There are significant constraints that are placed upon us as a result of the planning scheme, and I will rant and rail again, as I so often do, that some of those really important and necessary factors like amenity, like the feeling of a neighbourhood, like loss of privacy or impacts on native vegetation, some of those things, to the fullest extent possible, are not covered in the statewide planning provisions, and they're not given the proper weight and value that they deserve, in my opinion. And yet that does not diminish the fact that as a planning authority, we councillors have an obligation to comply with those standards as laid out for us. So I think it is worth noting here that in the desired future character statements, Kingston is to include a mix of housing types that provide for a range of choices and affordability.
equally important in those desired future character statements, it says that the Kingston area is characterised by vegetated corridors and backdrops, and this visual appearance should be protected. And I couldn't agree more with that. And the weight that we need to provide to one of those criteria or the other is and always will be subjective. And usually I land on the side of emphasising that notion that we need to be and remain characterised by vegetated corridors and backdrops and visual areas should be protected. In this case, it would be remiss of me not to look at the other side of the table there on page 11 and recognise that the implementation strategy as put before us is that while traditional suburban areas are to be retained as appropriate, multi-unit housing is to be directed towards those areas that are relatively close to Central Kingston or other significant business or commercial precincts. And indeed, we're in an area here in Kingston, as you'll read in the comprehensive report about this particular development, we're in an area where this kind of development is approved by the planning scheme and it is therefore appropriate. But I think it behoves us as councillors to, putting aside our commitments and our obligations as a planning authority, to think when we're not in a planning authority section about how important it is for us to make sure that we beautify our streetscapes, that we place an extra emphasis and extra value on making sure that our streetscapes are beautiful and that we have great natural areas and green corridors and biodiversity and that we have places for people to enjoy the great outdoors. In this particular circumstance, we are constrained by the planning scheme and I have full confidence in our planning staff and the reasons there are many and they're detailed and I agree with them. And so on this occasion, whilst I do have enormous sympathy for those representations that are made, I also recognise that it is also right for us to approve this development and we will see developments like this as the population of Kingborough continues to increase. So I think we have an obligation, we're not as a planning authority, to really step up our beautification, our revegetation, our street furniture and our parks and wild places so that we can maintain that amenity and the characteristics of this neighbourhood going forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Cordova. Any further speakers before I ask Councillor Street to wrap up? Councillor Grace.
Could I ask a question on this? So I know all the restrictions that's, or the conditions that's applied to this, and one makes me wonder, Mayor, why there isn't a bond for the environmental protection, seeing there's so many conditions in here to hear that they don't go near the tree roots and there's got a...
there is a bond, isn't there? I'm pretty sure there is a bond, Councillor Gray.
There's a bond for the tree, I see, but North Bruny, you remember the eco cabins down there, there was a $5,000 bond they had to put in. Isn't this much the same? Maybe Tyler Moore, Tatchell Moore could answer that for me, please.
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mayor. I'm not sure which North Bruny application is being referred to. Applications get bonds for various things, whether it's for weed management, reporting, assessments for vegetation and so forth. This one, this is a $5,000 tree bond for the vegetation to be returned after it's checked that its health is fine. So it's a fairly standard practice to put the bond on.
Okay, thank you.
Any further contributions before I ask Councillor Street to wrap up? Councillor Street.
I don't think there's any need, Mayor, thank you.
Okay, there's a recommended motion printed on the agenda for those listening at home, it's on the bottom of page 20. And the recommendation reads that the Planning Authority resolves that the development application for four multiple dwellings, one existing, at 26 Groningen Road, Kingston, for another perspective, be approved subject to the following conditions. Now there are a lot. There's 22 conditions. It was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Grace. I'm going to run through our list of councillors and so if you unmute yourselves and just if you agree with the motion, please say yes, and if you're against the motion, please say no. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Councillor Fox
is not here. Councillor Grace.
Unmute, Councillor Grace.
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Grace. Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Watts.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
And just to check, Councillor Fox, just to confirm, if you're there, now's the time to say yes.
We had a conflict of interest, Mayor.
Sorry, everyone. Councillor Fox is not here. Okay, the motion is carried 9-0. And we move forward to the next item on the agenda, which is, apologies, I haven't brought my cheat sheet home tonight, which makes it a little bit slower. So the planning authority session now is now adjourned, and the open session of council will recommence at 6:17 p.m. And we now move to motions which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion that have been received. Next item, still on page 49 of the agenda, is petitions still being actioned. And in response to petition headed Safe Bicycle Way, Algona Road, Kingston, and dedicated rate rise to raise the required shortfall for the Kingborough Council Climate Change Plan will be brought forward to a future meeting. Also on page 49, we have petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. We'll move on to page 50 of the agenda, which is the Kingston Place Strategy 2020 to 2050. By the way,
Councillor Fox is here.
Yes, I was just about to say, can someone, just checking that Councillor Fox is here, and if not, could someone, perhaps a member of staff, let her know that the item that she declared an interest in has, actually she's not unmuting. Are you there, Councillor Fox?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Oh, great. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay, so the motion, the recommended motion is on page 55. Would someone like to move or second that motion?
I'll move it, Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Midgley, looking for a seconder.
I'll second it, Mayor.
Second by Councillor Westwood. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I might just put myself on my video sharing. I'm just getting a bit of lag, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. So the Central Kingston Space Strategy, the Place Corps consultants were engaged mid-2019 on the advice on the proposed upgrade of public infrastructure with Central Kingston Precinct. As councillors, we have been kept up to date in regards to the development of this, and we have been involved in different stages with Kylie Easley from Place Corps regarding the consultation and feedback from the community and stepping forward. The funds used to pay for this consultation, which actually was quite surprised at, the $100,000, were from the Hobart City deal as part of the Kingston congestion package. So it's no wonder that we have a really fantastic strategy before us, considering that it did cost that amount. I note there's over 1,500 people were involved in different aspects of the public consultation. It was very extensive and supported as well by our community engagement staff, Ms. Wilcox, from community forums, discussions with committees, interviews, and lots of other things through the ASA pages. I note the place strategy is here tonight for council's endorsement, implementation by a normal annual budget process, and it is to actively seek external funding to support its implementation. Place score. They do have quite a unique framework, really, in regards to their understanding of placemaking, and they utilised a framework in measure of place via a placemaking framework which fundamentally considers a civic ecosystem. Something I'm not sure if Council has had anyone consider our civic ecosystem before. It's aspirational. It gives you a slight feeling of how could we possibly do this for Kingston, but it does clearly identify and honestly that there are significant challenges in implementing them. And the major works and changes that are proposed will come at a significant cost to Council over the long term. But endorsement of the strategy does not in itself commit Council to any specific expenditure or implementation, but it rather offers a guidance to Council and other stakeholders for future decision making. I think in the scheme of where we are with our current budget process and financially, that's an important point to make. It's a significant piece of planning for the next 30 years in Central Kingston. And so really, let's face it, this part of Kingston really does need a lot of love. If we ever talk to anybody in the community, I think one of the complaints that we get is that Central Kingston area, what are we going to do about this place and how are we going to fix it? It's noted that the overall response from community for this precinct, that people have said that it should be a people-centric area, a green, walkable and engaging place to stay. There's a lot of mention re-improvement of walking and cycling and nodes to make it less car-centric, which I'm sure you all will know that that's exciting for me. It also discusses project management of the strategy and the governance to achieve the outcomes. It's good to see that we do have other stakeholders involved in this governance, such as the Cycling South and the Bike Tasmania, and also engagement of local business stakeholders as well. There's a lot of great economic points mentioned in the strategy, and I guess that's really important in regards to moving forward and creating that buzz and feel of making it a great place to be. A few other points. I'm not sure. So again, I think in the words that are aspirational, many strategies are aspirational and many strategies come across our desk as council, but I like that it considers options for Skipper Lane. I'm not sure, I haven't been on council long enough to know that Skipper Lane has come up as an identified linkage and the possibilities there. And it really sort of gave that thinking around. It's something that as council we can sort of think out of the box. It gives us the possibility of what can be. I did ask questions in regards to the 30 years and wondered why perhaps we needed such a long-term strategy. But I can understand the thinking of that. It is actually a long-term strategy. It's not going to be something that is going to be implemented tomorrow. It gives us the guidance and planning for the future. I do have a couple of questions. I might just put my camera on again because it is a bit weird not having the camera on. I have a couple of questions, Mayor. And I'm wondering, so over the years, I understand that this part of Kingston has had a number of strategies over these areas, over this particular Central Kingston area, and they really haven't gone anywhere. I understand there has been speculation around closure of the Channel Highway and all sorts of different ideas over the years, but it doesn't really seem like there's been much movement in this area. How can we ensure that this strategy doesn't sit on a shelf and not go anywhere, perhaps, or it's too big, it's too aspirational, we don't have the funds to implement any of these ideas? I'm just wondering our governance and our planning around this so it doesn't just sit on a shelf.
Mr. Reid, I know you're the author of the report. Seth, do you want to answer that, or Mr. Ferrier?
Through you, Mayor, maybe I'll start and maybe Mr. Reid can follow on, but just in response, there has been, well, there actually haven't been many master plans of Kingston for quite some time. The last one that was done for the whole of the CBD would have been in about 2008 or so, so it's quite a long time since something like that was done, and that was really in response to the impending availability of the high school site. So a lot of things have changed since then. It's for that reason that this this strategy is important, because it's long overdue, and it's also a strategy which must be taken into account, because we are dealing with the City Deal and the Kingston Congestion Package. And the funding that's been provided to do this strategy, we now need to use it to think about how we are going to manage the CBD with some of those other funds. So it's not something that can sit on the shelf, but that said, it is a strategy which does need now to be supported by other work. We do need to start looking at traffic, for example, and parking, which this strategy doesn't really look at in great detail. So it's something which gives us a starting point, but it's a baseline from which we can now work, and that's why it's a long-term strategy. So it can't sit on the shelf because we now need to move to the next stage of infrastructure delivery, which includes the main street of Kingston, which was actually the origin of this strategy, that we needed that type of advice. So, I can assure the councillor that it's not a strategy which will sit on the shelf because we've been waiting for it in order to take the next steps in terms of designing some of the infrastructure within the CBD. I'm not sure if Mr. Reid would like to add to that.
Could I add to that?
You've got some. Yeah, can you add something to it?
I've got a few more questions. Yes. I would like to comment. Yes, please.
Hang on. Perhaps we'll finish Councillor Midgley and then come back to you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
During my sharing time. So that's really fantastic. Mr. Ferrier, thank you so much. As I said, I do really support this and it is really exciting and aspirational. I'm just wondering as well in regards to that, is there a project officer dedicated to this? Just wondering, I think you mentioned some of the first actions around parking. I'm also wondering in regards to the actions for this very important strategy for Kingston, when will they be reported to council?
Mr. Reid or Ferrier?
Through you, Mayor, maybe I'll jump in again. I don't want to steal Mr. Reid's thunder. But there's no set project officer as such. I guess from a staff perspective, we're waiting to see the finalisation of this strategy and the council's endorsement to consider what happens next. There are obviously internal resource limitations as to what we can do, but that said, there is an internal working party which is looking at the next step, and we are trying to identify a project plan which would deliver on the place strategy, and that would be the next body of work which would need to be done. But yes, staff have been meeting to date on the next steps, but we haven't got anything that we can formally put before council at this stage.
Thank you. I've just got a couple more questions. Just in regards to if we'll be communicating, hopefully it gets passed by council tonight, and how we'll be communicating back to the community. I guess one of the things in regards to engagement, noting there was over 1,500 people engaged in this, we'll be contacting them to let them know now that it has been endorsed, or I'm just wondering what the next stage of that in regards to that consultation. Closing the loop sort of thing.
Ms. Wilcox, perhaps?
Through you, Mayor. Yes, we'll, I'm just going to see. Sorry, the community can't hear me unless I have my mic on. I just have to turn that on. Consultation will close the loop. We'll go back to all of those people that we engaged with through the PlayScore caption, and of course, you know, all through our normal channels. But we'll make sure that we do a communication strategy around that, because there'll be multiple engagement projects that will come out of this long-term strategy. So each project will have its own engagement strategy aligned with it.
Thank you. Just a question in regards to on page 32, under the recommendations under public realm recommendations, things into the city. I think there's some fantastic recommendations and points in here, and something that I have mentioned before in regards to the language, encourage developers and traders to maximise private planting, encourage integration of elements of greenery in the design of new streets. That it's got, you know, install and plant, so sort of must do. I'm wondering at all, I mean, we can't change the strategy at all now, but I'm just wondering if anyone would like to speak to the, you know, encouraging developers and traders to use green walls to offer cool and green experience. How can we, I guess it's part of a a planning authority matter. But I'm just wondering at all, you know, how it would be so great to see Central Kingston full of green walls and more planting and things like that. Just wondering at all, is there any sort of way that we can strengthen that?
I think, Councillor Michio, I think one way to do it would be through the planning scheme and require people to do that. But wouldn't it be better if Council bought our business community and CBD traders along with us as part of this vision? And we've done the right thing by including as part of the commencement of the consultation. But wouldn't it be good if they wanted to join in with this and they wanted to create a green space and they were totally engaged in what we're trying to do? I'd much rather bring them along with us and have them voluntarily contribute to the vision of what we're trying to do than do it with the planning scheme. Mr. Ferrier, you might have a comment on what we could or couldn't do through the planning scheme, though. Mr. Ferrier?
Through your Mayor, yes, you're quite correct. There are those two options, and obviously using a carrot rather than a stick is a better way to go, and I think there's certainly an opportunity for Council to work with the business community and landowners and other stakeholders. It's an interesting situation we've got here in Kingston because a lot of the landowners own large parcels of land within the CBD, and that has some good and bad points. If they're on side, it's great. If they're not on side, it becomes more difficult than it should be. But that said, you're correct. The planning scheme is another option. The place strategy does recommend the development of a new specific area plan for the whole CBD, and as one to implement this place strategy. We would need to do more work in that regard to get that specific area plan up, but that's certainly an option which could assist in relation to putting some specific conditions or specific development standards which relate to this particular precinct, which encourage a lot of the measures which have been proposed by this place strategy. So yes, it's a two-prong approach. It's trying to encourage people to do it off their own volition, but also have some regulatory backup as well.
Thank you, and thank you, Mayor. So just as final comment, I hope that all councillors support this. It really does give that heart and feeling to the future of Kingston, the best place to live, work and play. And I do commit my endorsement to this, and it is proposes some exciting and challenging opportunities, but gives us great direction for our decision making.
The next is Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I endorse everything that Councillor immediately said. I would like to point out that there has been community pressure since 1988 to do something about this particular area and to try the Channel Highway section outside the council chambers there with the pedestrian crossing has probably caused more angst to the community. The fact that it's been left behind with Kingston developing so rapidly, and this area has never really had its fair share of finance. The finance was ready a number of times in our budgets since 1988. We did a ratio report, which some councillors might remember, but the money was deferred for the Kingston roundabout building and also the Coles development. And we did Church Street and Freeman Street upgrades in the past, and this area was again about to be developed, and then Kingston Park cropped up. There was a plan for traffic calming of the Channel Highway a number of years ago, I can remember Councillor Roger McGuinness was on council at the time, but at the very last minute the numbers weren't there, and once again the money was deferred. So to me, this is a breath of fresh air to read this plan, and I'm so pleased we managed to get the funding to pay for it, and I thoroughly endorse it. It's rather sad though that it's going to take another 30 years to actually achieve something by the look of the conclusion on page 55. But I think having made a commitment and making a start and everybody getting on board and understanding what's required and the vision for this area of Kingston, I think it will grow quicker than we realise, and every developer will take it into account and the council will put it in their budget. And I think it's very heartening to see that there is $200,000 in our current budget for capital works to do further investigation and design. So I would thoroughly recommend supporting the recommendation from the staff, and I'm very excited by this report. Thank you.
Next speaker I have is Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would at this first instance like to commend the hard work of the author and authoriser and this very comprehensive strategy. And I concur with Councillor Midgley and Councillor Fox that it is exciting and opens up a wealth of possibilities before us. The particular areas of interest for me are the development of the Civic Spine that links the Channel Highway and John Street. And I endorse the notion of creating a new laneway or several new laneway experiences. I think it opens up a whole realm of possibilities, particularly 1D. I'll draw our attention to that on page 52, the discussion about pedestrian, active transport and public transport options into and out of the town centre from the peripheral residential areas and surrounds. I wholeheartedly support the idea of healthy spaces and places and having a healthy by design approach, where we consider health and well-being in all aspects of our planning and our execution of our council services. I wanted to talk briefly, though, Mayor, about the tyranny of low expectations. And in this regard, I point to 4.5, where it says this strategy identifies these as desired strategic priorities. And I want to take this moment to say that these priorities should be critical, they should be necessary. They should be indispensable. They should not just be desired. And whilst I fully endorse this strategy and I fully commend the great work of the staff and of the entire consultation process and everybody who was involved with that, it's also really important that we as councillors open up our imaginations for how good Kingborough could be and how good our CBD could be. And with that said, I wanted to point us to 3A and 3B, because to me that speaks volumes about what the next 30 years for the Kingston CBD could look like. To bring nature into the centre through plantings, landscaping and greenery. Networks of diverse open space, places for people to sit, stay, play, socialise, strategically located and connected throughout the precinct. To me, it's so exciting that we have this opportunity, and I think it's critical that we have this long-term vision, a 30-year plan. And the reason for that is we never know when the next city deal will come and knock in. We'll never know when that next opportunity is there, and that's why it's critically important to have these shovel-ready plans available so that we're able to make the most of those opportunities when they come to us. But I love this idea that, and it's in 4.10, that Kingston should be a place that is a green, walkable and engaging place to stay and visit. I note that the risks that have been identified in this very comprehensive report, that's full of fascinating tidbits, so I really encourage everybody listening to take a look at the report in its entirety, because there's all kinds of interesting facts and figures in there. But when we look at what the primary risk is of this initiative, the primary risks involved with the adoption or otherwise of the Kingston Place strategy relate to stakeholder expectation, that there are now going to be heightened public expectations, and it's going to be necessary to communicate the real constraints that we have as a result of the COVID crisis, as a result of the financial crisis, and going forward the many obstacles that I have no doubt that we will face in implementing this vision. But so important is that we as individuals choose to widen our expectations of what council can provide, to widen our imagination of what a livable city looks like, so that we always put health and well-being at the heart of every decision that we make, so that we always put healthy by design principles into our day-to-day operations. and that we dispense with the tyranny of low expectations and we look to places which are doing it right, places which are resplendent with green walls and renewable energy on every rooftop, places that are beautiful to look at and enjoyable to sit and stay and wonderful to visit. These places are all over the world. There are some places here in Tasmania, places on the mainland. Look at New Zealand or look at a number of places throughout Europe where they have made cities livable through visions like this. So I commend the work once again of everybody involved in putting this together. I look forward to seeing its implementation, and I also encourage each and every one of us to strongly consider the imagination and to strongly consider our expectations and to expect much more of council, of planning, and of the future Kingdom than we currently expect. And to that end, I really would look forward to seeing a new specific area plan with teeth, something that can actually encourage, because I wholeheartedly agree with the Mayor that it is better to be bringing along stakeholders and business owners and have them voluntarily contribute to this vision. But I also recognise that to do business as usual, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And if we haven't seen people springing voluntarily to some of these initiatives, then there could very well be a time where, by promoting this vision, by strongly encouraging it, and also potentially elements here and there to mandate them in the new specific area plan, well, I look forward to that conversation when we have it. But thank you once again, and that's all from me. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. The next speaker is Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd also like to echo the sentiments of my colleagues in saying I think this is a really exciting vision. It is a 30-year vision, so certainly there's a lot of work to go into funding it and putting it into practice. I really like what the consultant has called the five place principles: great paths, engaging edges, people places, more green, and business friendly. I think those things are really important for us to be working towards. A couple of questions I have just to add to those already asked centre around really where to from here. So on page 24 of the report, page 76 of the council agenda, under planning and governance recommendations, we've touched on specific area plans, but a couple of recommendations here focus on forming steering groups and working groups. I was wondering if Council had any plans for doing that type of thing to underpin seeing this come to fruition over the next 5 to 10, 15 years.
Mr. Ferrier, Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, I'll let Mr. Reeve answer that one. Thank you.
Mr. Reeve.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just outside of the room just for a second there. Could you just repeat that question?
On page 76 of the agenda paper, page 24 of the report from PlaySCore, under planning and governance recommendations, there are two recommendations. One is to form a Kingston Transformation Government Steering Group, and one is to form a Kingston Transformation Stakeholder Working Group. And I was just wondering if there were any plans to get those or something like that up and running as recommended to, I guess, getting back to what Councillor Midgley was saying about not letting this sit on the shelf, to kind of take active steps and be a bit proactive towards making it happen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, I think some of those ones there will need to actually come relatively early in the piece there. The reason being is because I guess for Council to implement this and to do it all internal is not going to be possible. We need to actually bring the business community and other stakeholders along with us as well. And I think to do that, I think you need to actually include them very early in the piece there, talk about what they can actually bring to the table, also talk about what the expectations may be in terms of delivering this, in terms of timeframes as well at the same time. Also, I guess, make people aware of the fact that it is a long-term plan, and it may be that there's a few different iterations we need to go through, and how do we actually work with all the various different stakeholders to get to that point. And that's why I think it's actually pretty critical to actually not just look at it as an internal staff thing there, where I guess that we start working away at our own pace on it, but to actually include all these other people as well at the same time. So I'd see that as some of the first steps is actually, I guess, forming those type of groups, if you like.
That sounds great. The other question I had around renaming of the Channel Highway. So as rightly pointed out, if we're trying to create a pedestrian-friendly green space with not as many vehicles, calling our main street a highway doesn't really fit with that. So are there any plans maybe to go out to the community for suggestions on alternative names for the Channel Highway that runs through the Kingston CBD?
Mr. Reid.
It certainly is one of the things that was actually mentioned there in terms of trying to give some identity to your central space there, and I think it's actually quite an important thing. Where that comes up in the piece, we probably haven't got that far in terms of actually determining that, but I think it's probably something that is a fairly easy and simple thing to actually implement and probably a good thing for people to grab hold of. I guess that's the other comment, not necessarily completely related to that question, but something that councillors should be aware of as well. A lot of the things in there is some easy wins in some of this stuff as well at the same time. There is some stuff that we can put in place that will actually keep things ticking over as well. There's certainly some areas in terms of some of the green spaces and other areas like that which we can look at in the shorter term, which aren't a lot of cost associated with as well. And that's just an example of one. You know, just renaming that section of road there would be an example of one. So I think it's those ones there that we need to look at also early in the piece as well, just to keep that momentum going in the whole project.
Thank you. And just to double back to the specific area plan, is it likely that council or the planning authority will consider a special area plan to ensure that this vision does have some kind of statutory requirement attached to it, if not just for public infrastructure, but to extending into private development as well?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, that's certainly the recommendation from this study. Like I said earlier, it has focused more on the public realm, and as the council has mentioned, it would also need to provide for standards within the private properties as well. So there's a bit more work to be done in determining what they might be. This particular report hasn't delved into that in a great deal. It's, like I said, it's more about the public realm. But in order to have a specific area plan for the whole of the CBD, you're looking at private development as well. And what sort of standards would be appropriate in order to achieve all the goals and objectives that are in this particular report. So yes, it's not something that can be done quickly, because the background work for a specific area plan would take a little time, and I guess following on from what David Reid has just said, there's probably some easy wins that we can get up early. A specific area plan is not probably an easy win in the early stages, and it might take a couple of years to develop, but it's certainly not towards the 30-year end of this particular strategy, but over the next couple of years, it's something which we would be working on.
Thank you. That's all from me. I guess just a final comment is, if we can lead by example with our public infrastructure, then I'm sure some of our developers would be willing to work collaboratively with us to beautify our CBD in Kingston. I think it's really, really great strategy.
Next speaker is Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I won't take up too much time, but I just want to say a couple of things. Firstly, I think this is absolutely a fantastic strategy. It's big and it's bold and it's very visionary, and that's exactly what we need to reinvigorate the centre of Kingston and have it be as a place that people want to come together and be proud of, because I've always looked at it as we get a little bit of it, and as Councillor Fox said, and then it stopped. And it would just be nice to see, as Mr. Reid has just said, some short-term wins, and then we have the longer-term implementation. There was, when we did workshop this back in January, there was one thing that I found, I guess, disappointing, and that was the way this was going. We've been given a very clear bit of advice from the Department of State Growth that the only thing that they will entertain in terms of a bus interchange or improvements to the bus stop is retaining it there in that channel highway in the area that it currently exists at the back of the banks there. And it's totally unsatisfactory. It's unsatisfactory now, and whatever we do with it in the future will just be some window dressing. And I think it's really disappointing that they haven't considered the very real possibility of being able to develop something over at Kingston Park, which would be much better for everyone who's commuting. And if you think how that could link into these laneways that we're going to have, then I think the outcome would be really, really good. But it seems that the state government has, you know, just shut the door on that, and that's really disappointing. Do want to just make rather a comment, and that was on behalf of the Council's Access Committee, because we were given the opportunity, thank you very much, for the committee to provide some feedback. And I do hope that as we move forward with this and start some of the practical work on it, that the Access Committee can still have some say in some of the infrastructure that's put in, so that we can make sure that what we're putting in is 100% usable for everyone in our community and not just a few. And if I can just give you a really ridiculous example, the traffic lights that Councillor Fox mentioned earlier that we have there near Banjo Bakery near John Street, they don't allow at the moment enough time for somebody who is in a wheelchair to cross. And when we gave that problem to the Department of State Growth, they said, well, we'll do a trial, we'll give them an extra 2 seconds. So somebody in a wheelchair gets an extra 2 seconds to cross there now. And I would hope that once we move forward with this sort of thing, they're the sort of issues that might seem small to some people, but make a difference to the enjoyment of the place that we live for everybody. So I really do hope that we can have the Access Committee involved in this in the future. And look, if we're still meeting remotely and have that sort of tyranny of distance, I'm sure that they will be delighted to take part in Zoom meetings to offer some advice as we move forward. But I look forward to this and I endorse the recommendations.
Thanks, Councillor Reid. So I don't have anyone else's indicators.
Yes, I'd like. I can't indicate from iPad, unfortunately. I really enjoy reading this, and it, as Councillor Cordova said, there's lots of interesting things in there. One of the things that worried me a little bit was, again, on page 76, where it's the public realm recommendations, and one of them is based around the library. Now, this is another state government thing, that are they leaving the library there? Are they going to move the library? Because that will make a big difference to the way we develop Hutchins Street. And I think we need to sort of put, when possible, a little pressure on the state government for not only the bus mall, but for the library and whether it's going to be moved or not. So that's my little contribution there. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Bestone. Further contributions?
Mayor?
Councillor Grace.
Yeah. I think this document is ambitious. I think we've done a lot of things wrong, particularly over at the old high school site. And that will stop this sort of development going on now for probably 40 years, the time we pay, ratepayers pay all the money back on that expenditure. I will support it because it's not going to go anywhere unless the state government starts to get behind the move with transport, and transport will play, in my opinion, a large part of the what happens within the CDB. Personally, I thought closing off the Channel Highway and opening it up to a pedestrian way like the original plan was some years back, to integrate Channel Court, John Street area, all in that area as a pedestrian walkway. We had consultants do that. I thought that, and I still think, that's my opinion, I still believe that is the way to go, because we've got to not have traffic down through that corridor at one stage. We've got to divert the traffic out of there. But as we said, and I heard the other councillors, good suggestions there. There's a lot of way yet to go, but we really need to think closely about the Channel Highway, particularly from Beach Road up to the roundabout, before we race in and spend $1 million or $2 million upgrading that. And we're not going to get the pedestrians in through the, your Kingston Park now and those areas. That's my two bobs worth, man.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Do we have any other speakers? Look, I was so happy to read this, and I've been really impressed with the way that PlaySCore has worked with our council staff and with our community to come in with no preconceived ideas. That's why I was always keen for someone not from Kingston or not from this area to come in and do this piece of work. I don't think anyone that's been living here as long as most of us have could come to this without preconceived ideas, and that's what's happened. We've had someone come down who's done this across towns across Australia, regional towns like ours, highway towns like ours once was, and turned them into something more pedestrian friendly, more focused on retail. And that's one of the reasons why I think this process has been so successful. But more than anything, I'm excited because 12 months ago, this council passed a capital works budget that was to invest over $1 million in rebuilding the Channel Highway. And I think if we had just done that and not done this piece of work, we would have sentenced Kingston to the same fate for another 50 years. We wouldn't have been able to change it. And we've reached a crossroads, done the proper consultation and got a plan now where we can properly set out the way that we build our infrastructure and engage with our local business community to make it better. I passionately believe that we shouldn't be putting we shouldn't be trying to enforce this through planning mechanisms. I believe we should be working with the business sector to see this strategy take place, because if we try and force the business community into doing it through a stick approach rather than a carrot, then I don't think it'll be successful. I was pleased that we did have some good engagement from large operators like Channel Court through this, that they will be a huge and hugely important stakeholder. But the opportunities that this presents to businesses during a really difficult time is immense. Let's build some infrastructure that makes it an absolute no-brainer for businesses to jump on board, particularly on the round of Channel Highway. If we can urbanise and pedestrianise the Channel Highway, and I agree, rename it would be a great idea, encourage outdoor dining. One of the big pieces of feedback from our community was that there's not enough outdoor dining, there's not enough places at night to go in Kingston. They'd like to see more places like that, and what an opportunity for those business owners who have started up recently in some cases to embrace that idea. I want to thank Minister Michael Ferguson and the state government for this, because this isn't, as I said, this was quite expensive. It was very expensive, and it's not something that I think would have passed this council given our financial circumstances. I can't imagine us voting to spend this amount of money on a report like this. We went to see Minister Ferguson, who, despite not being from this area, I guess understood why we were passionate about needing to do this work before we went ahead with the rest of the $20.8 million package, and understood why it was really important place for us to start, and allowed us to use the City Deal money to do it. So we really appreciate his personal interest in this and the state government through the City Deal. This is the first box tick for the City Deal for us. We've had a great, been really proud of, well, really happy to work with him in particular. So also thanks to our staff, Ms. Wilcox, Mr. Reid, and Mr. Reeve in particular, who also supported this. I now hand over to Councillor Midgley to sum up. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to all the councillors who have shared and raised really important points. And thank you also, Mayor, for your advocacy for the community with this, to the Minister for seeking the funds to pay for what we all have agreed upon, who've spoken tonight, as something really important and transformational for the future of Kingston. And I look forward to seeing some of those little wins that perhaps might come to council in the future. And yeah, congratulations to all staff involved. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Look, it's now 7 o'clock, and so it's been suggested on the meeting chat that we could have a break. I think that's a great idea. So we will adjourn the meeting until 7:10 p.m. or is that maybe 7:15 p.m. Give people enough time to get a coffee. So 7:15 p.m. I'm going to mute all of
Mayor,
them. Yes. I haven't voted. Where are we?
I think
what am
you
I doing?
Vote. I'd like to vote.
Apologies, everyone.
That's all right.
My daughter walked in just before. I'll turn the camera off. Okay, so I was trying to wrap it up before she started crying. She's got out of bed. Okay, we are now moving to the vote. So I'm going to run through the voting on this item. The motion as printed is moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Westwood. And it's that Council A, endorse the Kingston Place Strategy 2020 to 2050. B, consider future implementation of the strategy recommendations by way of normal annual budgeting process. And C, actively seek external funding over the life of the strategy to support its implementation and the transformation of the Central Kingston precinct. So I'm going to run through the councillors. Councillor Westwood, are you? If you agree with the motion, please say yes, and if you disagree, please say no. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes,
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley. Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Watts?
Yes.
Councillor Reid?
Yes.
And myself, Councillor Winter, is also yes, so the motion is carried unanimously. We will now take a brief adjournment till 7:15 p.m. I'll mute all microphones and we'll take the screen off and see you back here at 7:15. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
is it?
G'day everyone. It's 7:15. Well, it's not quite 7:15 on my iPad, so I'll just give it a couple more. I'll wait till that goes to 7:15. Okay, so the next item is the, let me just check, videos are on, and Jim is well off. Okay, so we're back online, back on Facebook. Thanks everyone for that brief moment. We now move to item 17.2, which is the COVID-19 pandemic community support, and there is a recommended motion on page 175. Would any councillor like to move the recommended motion?
I'll move it, Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Midgley. Looking for a seconder.
I'll happily second that, Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, I'd just like to say I'm really grateful that council staff have spent the time putting together this report in response to my question at last council meeting, which asked for a summary of actions and initiatives since COVID-19. I thought that would be important to have on public record, just noting that it demonstrates quick thinking, a community-focused initiatives, good governance to work together for the best of our community. It's great to see that there's a list of stakeholders with up-to-date details regarding local services and agencies, which I'm sure that we can utilise for future things. And there's also a list of food relief services, which also is very useful for the community at this time. And I note that Ms. Wilcox has been very busy on social media, and the Buying Local initiative is great, as we all remember to, you know, buy that takeaway from a local person on a Friday night or whatever night that you'd like to do that. The Mother's Day campaign in regards to buying local initiatives and in regards to, you know, supporting our local artists and things like that as markets and things are closed, and also the community services response in regards to reaching out to those most vulnerable and socially isolated. I know they had quite a number of uptake as they reached out and contacted the older members of our community. So I just sincerely thank council staff for their wonderful effort and actually just going above and beyond during this time that we have experienced over the last few months.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox is the seconder. Would you like to speak now?
It's very good to see the summary of what is available and what has been done. I agree. I also want to commend the staff on how they have been dealing with the situation as a team, working together in this difficult situation and being so careful not to contaminate each other and to work in isolation and support the council activities and services that we can continue to provide. It's been an extraordinary time, and I can only stand back in awe to see how well it's been managed from the beginning to now. And I can see that this is it's only a small part, this report is only a small part of what's going on behind the scenes. So thank you, heartfelt thank you.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to echo those sentiments as well. I've been incredibly impressed with the organisational response to this pandemic, uncharted territory, and I think the staff have responded to this with decisive action. They've kept everyone informed as much as possible, and the response has been considered. So it's been extremely well handled. And it's been really great to see the agility of the organisation. So at a local government level, supporting those in our community, continuing to provide the core services that people need and expect, but also being agile enough to identify new programs like Kind Acts and helping your neighbour and those other things, I think it's been an incredibly impressive response. So I commend all the efforts of the staff and thank them for putting this report together.
Councillor Cordover, and then Councillor Cordover, and then Councillor Bastine.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and thank you, sincerely, thank you to all of the staff who put this together and all the staff at Kingra Council who are doing such an incredible job in such a difficult time. It is rare among this pandemic to find moments to be able to reflect on the incredible tenacity and courage and problem-solving capacity and ability to care for each other. It is really important, I think, that we find those moments to take stock, and I find it personally very uplifting to see the great work that the council has done. And I want to also reassure all those people listening and everyone in the community that there is still so much more work to be done. So to quickly go over the objectives that are in this social recovery plan, to ensure that relevant information is shared effectively, identify ways to support local programs that improve recovery outcomes, develop a consistent and coordinated messaging approach, identify localised health and wellbeing services who can be called upon to assist in recovery needs, and to develop long-term responses to support social recovery. And it's this last point that I think is most important. So we need to, I guess, focus on the fact that this is now a new normal, and there is a huge amount of uncertainty baked into this system because we do not know whether there will be a second wave of infections, and we do not know what the future holds. What we do know is that there's been significant ramifications already on a vast swathe of people throughout our municipality, people who have lost jobs, the generalised anxiety, the financial precarity. This is a time like no other. But what I would like to do is to recognise the good work that is currently being done, pledge to do more, and also to reshape and revalue our values, our shared values on the council, to make sure that at the other end of this crisis, that we still maintain the same sense of urgency with respect to taking care of people who are in vulnerable situations, to taking care of people with compassion and with support, and to reevaluate what's important in life. What's important in life is not money and profit. What's important in life is care and compassion. And so I have nothing but the highest praise for the staff at the Kingra Council. And I think whoever it was who just mentioned that on page, I guess it's on so it's on page 986 of our council agenda, the emergency relief in Kingra. These are all organisations that are listed here: Kingra Helping Hands, Salvos, the Neighbour House, Kingra Family Church, St Clements, and Kingra Community Missions. These are organisations which were doing great work in our community before the crisis, during the crisis, and will continue to do great work afterwards. And I look forward to a time after this crisis is over, but I also hope that we maintain that same level of commitment to compassion and commitment to care that we're showing right now. So thank you once again. Back to you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Cordover. Councillor Bastine.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll just reiterate what all the other councillors have said, that this is our council, or the staff of our council, deserve our unmitigated praise for this. If I can just say, there is just, and this is in no means a criticism, it is just a nature of geography, that the neighbourhood card, which is fantastic and works very well in the suburbs, does not work in the country. And it's very difficult to get in touch with people who don't have a letterbox and who are on larger blocks of land. And I think maybe we need to, for some future time, normally we would do it through the neighbourhood house or something. The council's been diligent, we've got the neighbourhood cards in the local shops, the post office, etc. But it's hard to get it back to a neighbour. So I'm not sure what we should do or how we go about it, but I'm just pointing it out. It's just one of those things. It is difficult to say to your neighbour, I can help you by putting a card on to them when there is nowhere to put the card. So I'm just wondering whether we look at putting them in plastic bags and tying them to the fence or something. I think we need to sort of look at that thing. Not now, because this is fantastic, but just maybe for some time in the future. So that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Bastone. I don't think the other speakers have let me know they'd like to speak. Anyone that hasn't spoken? Councillor Grace. Right.
Also, Mayor, thank you very much. This is a good document, but I'd also like to mention, our Premier of Tasmania stood up somewhat amazingly, keeping the community informed, keeping councils, the Minister for Local Government, our Health and Director of Health, and I think those people too deserve a big thank you, and our local politicians, particularly our local politicians down here. I know they've been active in what they can do for people. I just thought I'd mention that in passing, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Further speakers? There being none. Look, I won't repeat what everyone else has said. I'm very pleased it was put into a document because I get to see it more regularly than other councillors do, and I think it's really good to put on public record the great work that's being done. The other point I just wanted to make in terms of supporting our community has been council, and it wasn't a decision that needed to come to council, was done at an executive team level, was the decision to keep all of our parks and reserves, tracks and trails open. And there was pressure from some people to close those tracks and trails. But in terms of people's health over the course of this pandemic and over the course of the last 4 weeks or so, the decision of council to keep all of our public places open and trust our community to socially distance appropriately and be safe and stay safe has allowed them to continue to exercise and stay fit and healthy. And I think that was a very good decision and has been very well received. So I'm pleased that from today, the state government's reopening its parks like Peter Murrell Reserve in particular, Snug Falls, those sort of places that people love to use, and people can get their exercise done and continue to use social distancing to exercise and keep their health. So, very pleased we did that. To sum up, Councillor Midgley.
Before so, Mayor, can I ask a
Councillor
question?
Sure.
When does the government look like taking the signs off their parks?
Well, today is the date that we've been given. I'm not sure whether all the signs are down yet, but today's the date.
There's certainly not with Peter Murrell is still on there.
Yeah, presumably they've got a huge number of reserves around the state, but today was the day.
Yeah. It would be up to Parks and Wildlife, but of course it hasn't deterred everyone anyway, so it's no major dramas.
Thanks, Councillor Loss. So, Councillor Midgley, to sum up.
Just thank you everybody for sharing. I just wanted to make one little comment. I saw on the council's Facebook page
someone did say, can we have this done in the northwest? So it really does show that we're going above and beyond and standing above the rest, and well done again to everybody.
Thank you all. So the motion is moved by Councillor Mitchell and seconded by Councillor Fox, is that the report detailing the work being undertaken by Council to support the community during the COVID-19 pandemic be received and noted. I'm going to run through the voting list again, so if councillors unmute themselves. Councillor Westwood, are you a yes or a no to the motion?
I'm definitely a yes.
Councillor Bastone?
A yes.
Councillor Cordova?
Yes.
Councillor Fox?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Grace?
Mayor, I have trouble. It says unmuted and it's not. So am I unmuted now?
I can hear you, Councillor Grace.
Yeah.
A yes or a no?
Yes.
Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Watts?
Yes.
Councillor Reid?
Yes.
And I am also a yes, which means that the motion is carried unanimously. We move on now to 17.3, which is curbside green waste collection service. And there is a recommended motion on page 196. Would someone like to move a second?
I'll move.
Moved by Councillor Grace, looking for a seconder.
I'll second.
By Councillor Cordova, Councillor Grace.
Mayor, all it does is delaying the service now until January that we dealt with at council. I don't think I need to speak any further on it.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Further speakers, Councillor Cordova, you seconded it. So, well, Councillor.
I have a question, Mayor. I realise in the report it states that the contractors won't be disadvantaged if we defer it for 6 months, but I'm wondering, I'd like to know what the effect on the contractor would be if we were to consider that we defer it for 12 months. The reason I feel is that it's a service that's most appreciated in the spring, when there's a lot of growth, and before Christmas, and to be starting it in January, I think we've missed the peak period of this year, and maybe we should defer it till the following rate session, and that we start it in June, only defer it for 12 months instead of 6. That's my question. Is there going to be a negative effect if we considered that?
Mr. Reeve. Mr. Reid, are you with us? You might be on mute if you're speaking now. Mr. Reid is, saying away. Is there anyone else? Mr. Ferry, you're on the board of KWS. Perhaps you can help us.
I think the Mr. Reid alludes to the issue in the report. There is an uncertainty in relation to the contract with the contractors, in that they may well seek some form of compensation if it goes beyond the 6 months. So I think there's a concern that it goes beyond what an extension of the contract is allowed within the contract, such that it may end up costing council more. And I think we're also keen that there's quite a demand within the public for this service to commence as soon as possible. So there's also this issue of meeting public need as well. But it was primarily, I think, from Mr. Reeve, this concern within the contract that we may be liable for compensation to the contractor if we extend it much more than 6 months.
Thank you.
Further speakers? Councillor Westwood, I think you're on the chat saying you'd like to speak. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor.
I have some questions around this as well, hopefully for Mr. Reeve. I'm wondering also, like Councillor Fox, whether we can change the timing of this to coincide with spring, but I'm wondering whether instead of delaying for 6 months, we can look at potentially delaying for only 3 months to account for this upcoming spring. So I was hoping that Mr. Reeve could give me some more information around the correspondence that we've had from the contractor. I know that they have said they have requested a delay, but I also note that they have a vehicle that has been delayed but is still expected to arrive in August. So I'm wondering what correspondence Council has had and what would be the earliest date that the contractor could deliver this service by.
Mr. Reeves, are you there, or if not, Mr. Ferrier, are you aware of the answer?
Through you, Mayor, in the absence of Mr. Reeves, I think it's a possibility for 3 months. I haven't personally been engaging with the contractor. Sorry. But I think a 3 month delay is a possibility. Certainly, as you say, that there is a delay in relation to the availability of the vehicle, and there's also a delay in relation to the delivery of the bins themselves. Whether that can all be completed within only 3 months rather than 6 months, that's better if Mr. Reeves can answer that, though I'd sort of indicate that 3 months is a possibility.
It's just been advised that Mr. Reeves' computer has crashed, and that's why he's not with us. Would we like to defer this just until later in the meeting, and perhaps we could move on to Northwest Bay while we wait for him to come back in? Would anyone have an issue with doing that? Or Mr. Ferrier, are you happy with doing that?
No, 3 minutes. That sounds fine.
Well, Mr. Reeves, you're now unmuted. Does that mean you're there? Yes, you are there, Mr. Reeves. Welcome back. Councillor Westwood, can you re-ask your question, so Mr. Reeves?
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Reeves. I was just wanting to ask, what is the earliest date the contractor has indicated that it could deliver this service to those residents who have not opted out of the curbside delivery, curbside collection service?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. The earliest indicated originally that it would be either September at the very earliest there. So they indicated either September or January the 1st, or January, sorry. So that's the reason for January for this particular deferral at the moment. But it is possible we could do it earlier than that, depending on what might actually happen with the borders.
Sorry, I missed the last bit. With the board of what?
It's possible they may be able to do it earlier, possibly in September, depending on the availability of the person who could actually, or the contractor that could deploy the bins.
Okay. Because I understand that the contractor Council's employed has subcontracted to a mainland company the deployment of those bins. Given the recent announcements for the pathway to recovery and potentially easing of some restrictions, particularly as this might be considered an essential service, what would the likelihood of those bins being deployed for, say, an October 2020 start date look like?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So it's a possibility, and I guess there's also a possibility looking at maybe somebody else who could actually deploy the bins as well at the same time. So we could, I guess, look into that option. In terms of actually honouring the part of the contract, which is we have a water sell at the moment there, and using their interstate contractor, that's going to depend very much on when the state borders actually reopen again. The only other thing to consider as well is that we would like to tie whatever the start date is with also the state notices as well.
So with a January start date, I understand as part of the draft budget that the roughly $80 to $85 annual fee was being halved, given it's a cost recovery service. So that around about $40, when was that planned to go out in rates notices?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So that would be the third instalment. And if we were going to actually try and bring it forward in either September or October, it would go out in the instalment before that one.
So I assume, given it is a cost recovery service, if we bought it forward a quarter, it would be roughly $60 instead of either the $80 full year or the $40 half year. Is that correct? Roughly $60 for three quarters instead of $80 for four quarters?
Yeah, that'd be correct.
Based on that advice, I would like to propose an amendment to the motion. Am I right to go ahead and do that now?
Sure are, yep.
I'd like to propose that Council defer the commencement date of the curbside greenway service to October 2021 and also include something after that around about including an equivalent service charge in the draft budget, just to take account of the fact that if this was approved for October, we would need to be charging on a cost recovery basis $60 instead of $40. So, Council defer the commencement date of the curbside greenway service to October 2020, not 2021, so October 2020, and include an equivalent service charge in the draft 2020-21 budget. And I guess just looking at
that. You, before we move an amendment, do you want to ask the mover and seconder if they'd like to agree to save a bit of time?
Yes.
Councillor Grace and Councillor Cordova. Councillor Cordova is indicating on chat that he would support it. Councillor Grace, would you support that change? Councillor Grace, you're on mute.
I'm having trouble with this. Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now, Councillor Grace.
No, I won't support it.
Okay, that's fine. No need to go into it. That's fine. Councillor Westwood, you're now moving an amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move the amendment as shown on our screen, but just for the purposes of those watching, I'd like to move that Council defer the commencement date of the curbside greenway service to October 2020 and include an equivalent service charge in the 2020-21 draft budget.
Would anyone like to second the amendment?
Councillor Fox would like to second it.
Councillor Fox, I heard first. Second, Councillor West, would you like to speak to your amendment?
I would, thank you, Mayor. As we know, a lot of people have been waiting in anticipation for this service to start on the 1st of July. There was a lot of consultation that went into offering a service that met the needs of a lot of people in the community. Some people don't need the service and they have been given the option to opt out. And I understand that that could still occur. But certainly, people are spending more time in their garden at the moment. People have actually stockpiled a lot of green waste. Unfortunately, the coronavirus pandemic has caused a few hiccups to various things that have been outside of our control, including the need to cancel the free green waste weekend that was scheduled for late April. I know a lot of people were hoping to take advantage of that weekend. Unfortunately, due to social distancing requirements, it was cancelled. I'm still hopeful that we can reschedule that Green Waste weekend. But I think, as Councillor Fox alluded to, spring is peak time for gardeners. I'm not a gardener myself, but I am reliably informed that spring is peak gardening season, and anyway, there are a lot of people who would really like this service, and I think that if at all possible, we should really try and deliver it as soon as possible. I certainly understand why there have been delays with the contractor getting a vehicle and being able to deploy the bins by the 1st of July, but if we can delay it just by 3 months, I really do think that would be preferable.
Before we keep moving, Mr. Reeve, could you comment on the doability of this amendment?
Through you, Mayor. I guess it will require some discussion. Bearing in mind that the contractor, I guess, sent us something going back a couple of weeks ago as regards the dates that was mentioned, like January. I see.
Mr. Reeve, I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you. Is anyone else? Is it just me, or is others having trouble hearing
Mr. Reeve? No, can't hear.
Mr. Reeve, are you able to use the chat?
What I did hear.
Hang on, Councillor Grace. Do you have another go, Mr. Reeve? Let's see if we've improved.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it short. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. In short, I'd probably need to have the discussion with the contractor. He did indicate that possibly they could do September. I'm happy with the resolution, and let us work with the contractor on that.
Okay. Further speakers on. It was seconded by Councillor Fox. So would you like to speak, Councillor Fox, on the amendment?
Yes, just briefly to add that I also have fire management concerns, because a lot of people are reducing their fire hazard on their properties, and to be doing it in September is a much wiser time than to be doing it in June, so in January, when the fire season is at its peak. So I think in preparation for the fire season, it's a better timing, but also, of course, the fact that gardening is a big issue, and if the contractor can manage this, I think it would be wise for us to try and go for this date. Thank you.
Councillor Bastone would like to speak. Councillor Bastone.
Yeah, I managed to make my bar work. Which
very
is
good.
Fantastic. Yes, I'm very pleased with that. Something else I've learnt tonight. One of the things that I'm interested in is the contractor for the deployment of the bins wants to defer the start date, but the bin provider wants to go ahead and exercise their contractual rights. So they're going to bring the bins, we're going to have to store them. Now, if we have to store them, it says it's not very much money, it's only $5,000 to store them for 6 months. Well, I would be thinking, if the contractor cannot go ahead at the due time, which was the 1st of July, he should be paying the storage costs of the $5,000. If it's only 3 months, that's not so bad. But to be able to deliver the bins out, there must be large numbers of trucking groups here in the state at the moment who are not working to full capacity, and surely we can be using local contractors to deploy the bins to the properties. I understand that they wouldn't be able to do the pickups and they need a special bin for that, but surely we can be delivering bins by local contractor and not needing to have someone from interstate do that. That's all.
Mr. Reeve, did you want Mr. Reeve to respond?
If he could, please.
Through you, Mayor. There's really only one other contractor in the state that I know of that actually does this type of bin deployment. And I know that other councils have attempted to use other ways of doing it and it hasn't ended that well. So I'd be reluctant to use anybody apart from somebody who is used to doing that particular role.
And as in regard to the contractor not being able to do this, do you think it's fair that we make him pay the cost?
Councillor Bostock, just a reminder, we're on the amendment. You've short time to speak during the substantive motion. Do you want to hold off on this until we get back to substantive?
Yep. Thanks. Yes, that's fine.
Any other speakers on the amendment?
Yes, I do.
Councillor Grace.
The reason I voted against Councillor Westwood's amendment is not because I don't want it to start earlier, it's the fact that we were told by our qualified staff, and we agreed that this be deferred. Okay, if we go ahead now and we try and get it commenced in October, that's fine, I have no problem with it. But if it doesn't happen, then I'll be very disappointed that we have been misled on the fact, because our qualified staff member now can't even tell us because he doesn't know unless he makes a phone call tomorrow to find out whether this can happen. So therefore, I'd suggest, Mayor, that we defer this until the next meeting so that we can get concrete report back from Mr. Reeves. Otherwise, we're going to look pretty stupid if we turn around and say, yes, we're going to bring it forward. Yes, I hope we can. But if we can't, and after we've been told that by qualified staff and the reports are here tonight, and that's why I moved it, because I thought, well, we can't do any more. Our staff's tried their best, and the stuff's not going to be available. So I don't know what other councillors think to defer it, given Mr. Rees some time to reassess it tomorrow, the next day, and bring it back to our next meeting.
Councillor Grace, the report says in 4.4 that as a result of above, the contractor for both in deployment and collection service has formally requested a delay in the commencement date of the service. Then under questioning from Councillor Westwood, Mr. Rees said that he previously spoke to the contractor who said September at the earliest, and so Councillor Westwood's motion that would commence in October would appear to be at very least possible, though I admit not definite. Perhaps there could be some tightening up of the words that indicate that we would commence the service in October 2020 if possible, but I'm pretty keen to not defer this because I'd continue to get questions about what we're doing from our community. People are telling me that they are delaying, that they are stockpiling green waste in their homes at the moment, not in their homes, in their backyards, and I'd rather see us come to a resolution on this. That's why I wouldn't support that approach. But Councillor Westwood, is there a way you could tighten up the words that might help assist Councillor Grace?
Yes, certainly. And I guess that will give staff a little bit of leeway to have that conversation with the contractor just to double check that the date they advised still stands. Hopefully it does. And now that we're moving to loosen some of our restrictions, I hope it would. But potentially maybe, as you suggested, Mayor, after October 2020, we could add in the words, if possible, if at all possible, something like that. I'd be happy to do that if Councillor Cordova was happy to accept that.
Councillor Fox is.
Councillor Fox.
Yes, I'd be happy, but perhaps we should leave the word or January 2021, if not possible.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Ms. Morton, have you got your creative writing? If possible, maybe after the comma, or January 21, if not possible.
Yep.
So you've got olds there instead of or. Okay, does that now make sense to anyone that hasn't read it? Does that not make sense to anyone? Sounds good. Councillor Fox, are you happy with what's there on the screen?
I can't actually read it yet, but I guess the gist of it is that maybe...
I'll read it if you like.
Yeah, okay.
So the motion, the amendment would now read, Council defer the commencement date of a curbside greenway service to October 2020 if possible, or January 2021 if not possible, and include an equivalent service charge in the 2021 draft budget.
Maybe if October not possible, or 2021 if October
this is,
not
yeah,
possible.
If this is, or January 2021 if this is not possible.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, Councillor Westwood, happy?
Yes, sounds great, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Councillor Grace, are you now happy?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent, great news. All right, further comments or contributions to the amendment?
Hi, Mayor, I just have a couple of comments.
Sure, Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. I just think it's a display of good advocacy for the community, noting that there has been comments made, and we know that people are stockpiling, and it is definitely a service that people were looking forward to. We have the January, the hot summer fire season. Having this October is a way that ensures that the community can get rid of their green waste. Perhaps just a suggestion in the meantime that we might do a social media post if we are promoting to the community about this possible change, that we maybe do a bit of a social media post around community composting, because we can stockpile the green waste, but actually we could also compost some of that green waste as well. And winter is actually a great time to make a compost or a hot compost and things like that, so people can actually then utilise that back into their garden rather than moving it away as well. So I don't know, that's just a suggestion anyway. But thanks, Councillor Westwood, for putting this forward.
No further speakers at this stage. Councillor Westwood, would you like to sum up the amendment? Perfectly fine if you don't want to. Yep, very good. Thank you. So the amendment from Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Fox is that Council defer the commencement date of the curbside greenway service to October 2020 if possible, or January 2021 if this is not possible, and include an equivalent service charge in the 2020-21 draft budget. Going to run through that list of people and ask you to say yes if you agree with the amendment and no if you do not. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone. You're probably muted, Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Good. Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Watts.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
And Councillor Winter is also a yes, which means the amendment is carried unanimously, now becomes a substantive motion. Councillor Westwood, do you want to continue with your substantive contribution?
Thank you, Mayor. Just to reiterate that the community is very much looking forward to having a green waste curbside collection at roughly $80 to $85 a year. It is very cost effective for people, as opposed to loading all of their green waste into a trailer and going down to Beretta. And I've certainly had some really great feedback. People are looking forward to the curbside collection service. I think it was really good to see that not very many properties opted out. It was around about 20%. So it just goes to show how much people are looking forward to this service. I guess just a question in kind of related to green waste. Is it possible to consider rescheduling the cancelled green waste weekend? Because I know a lot of people were looking forward to that weekend. They have been stockpiling green waste with the delay in the introduction of the curbside collection service, whether it be 3 or 6 months.
I understand people still do have a lot of green waste sitting around, so is it possible to get some kind of indication as to whether the free green waste weekend, which I understand costs ratepayers $17,000, whether we could use that money to have another green waste weekend before the end of the financial year? Hopefully now that restrictions are easing, that might be possible.
Mr. Reef.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, it's something that we're considering at the moment there, along with also the reuse shop at Beretta. So we possibly will be able to work with the restrictions there to look at putting both of those back into operation, at least the reuse shop back into operation, and also maybe look at putting the free green waste weekend on in June.
That would be great, thank you. That's all from me. Just to really reiterate that people have a lot of green waste at the moment that they're waiting to get rid of, and they really are looking forward to the introduction of the curbside service.
Further speakers, I've heard from Councillor Grace, Councillor Fox and Councillor Westwood on the substantive. I know Councillor Bastone, you I think had some more questions.
I did, just one brief one, thank you. I'm just asking Mr. Reeve whether he thinks that if the provider, the contractor for the deployment of the bins and the curbside collection service can't manage to get it up and running by until the 1st of January, whether they should pay the storage costs, the $5,000 approximate storage costs that we will have to pay because they aren't ready.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I mean, it's certainly a discussion we can actually have with the contractor. I guess one thing to actually bear in mind too is that once the bins actually arrive and there is someone who can deploy the bins, there's nothing for stopping us actually deploying them earlier as well, which will obviously cut down on the time that there'll be that we'll need to actually rent the crates.
Thank you.
Further speakers? Councillor Grace, would you like to sum up?
I think it's all summed up, just hope that I understand where councillors are coming from, and let's hope we can bring it forward.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. The motion as moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Fox, I think, for memory. Is the council defer? Councillor Cordova, it was, too. Apologies. Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Cordova. The motion is council defer the commencement date of the curbside green waste service to October 2020. If possible, or January 2021, if this is not possible, and include an equivalent service charge in the 2020-21 draft budget. I'm going to run through the list and ask councillors to say yes if they agree with the motion and no if they do not. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Watts.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also a yes. The motion is carried unanimously. We move on to the item 17. Point four, which is the Northwest Bay River Multi-Use Trail Feasibility Study. Councillor Cordova would like to move it, and anyone second it?
I'd be very pleased to second it.
Councillor Fox would like to second it. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you so much. Through you, Mayor, it is my great pleasure and delight to be able to commend this particular motion, and I would like to pay special tribute to the author, Sue Sprott, and authorizer Daniel Smee, and all of the terrific contributors. This is a report that presents the draft Northwest Bay River Multi-Use Trail Feasibility Study, and this
could really be a terrific addition to our already wonderful assets of multi-use trails throughout the municipality. And as a local resident of Allen's Rivulet, I spend a good deal of time visiting Sandfly Reserve and crossing back and forth across the beautiful Northwest Bay River. And it is something that has been heavily advocated by local community groups for many years, as I'm made aware, particularly through the Trail Riders Action Club, and also residents like myself and so many other people. So the notion here is that there will be a trail link longly reserved to Margate along the Northwest Bay River, and it was identified as a priority under the Kingra Tracks and Trails Strategic Action Plan. I'm particularly excited to welcome more people to the region, but also particularly mindful of the necessity of maintaining the importance of natural and cultural values throughout the municipality, but particularly in areas which are so precious environmentally and culturally as the Northwest Bay River is. So I'm very pleased to have read this comprehensive and very fascinating feasibility study, and I know that the feasibility of constructing a multi-use trail from Longley to Margate along the Northwest Bay River was assessed through various mechanisms, the trail route surveys and natural values and preliminary community consultation. There is a strong demand within our municipality for outdoor recreation, for tracks and trails, for passive and active recreation. It's incredibly important that we move forward with respect to natural and cultural values. I'm particularly interested to learn more, including the Aboriginal Heritage Surveys, and to I already note the terrific summaries there of the other values, environmental values, flora, fauna, and so on. We are experiencing rapid growth in this municipality, and as that growth takes place, there will also be greater demand for our tracks and trails and greater demand for the expansion of our existing trail networks. So the expansion of this trail network within the catchment will enhance recreational values, increase community engagement, and provide broader social and economic benefits. And I'm particularly excited to note that we can make this an opportunity where people become more connected with their community and they identify closer and have a sense of place. And that's why it's so important that we do those Aboriginal heritage surveys, and we also work at speed to make sure that this kind of an initiative is developed in a sensitive and environmentally sustainable way. So thank you once again to the creators of this report, and I look forward to where it takes us. Thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to point out that the Northwest Bay Catchment Management Plan was the first in Tasmania, and I was the inaugural member of the Northwest Bay River Committee in the early 90s and chaired it for decades. And I know Councillor Grace has also been chair of this committee, and I'm well aware of the passionate support from the community for this trail, not only the action trail action riders, but also the local residents who live along the river. It's an absolutely beautiful area with cliffs and platypus in ponds and very nice vegetation along the river. And the river runs, of course, from the top of Mount Wellington right out to Northwest Bay, and is a significant environmental and recreational area along an entire river for our community and also for visitors who come here. And I think it's amazing that this proposal has finally come before us to link all the existing tracks, which have been put in at great expense by council and also contribution from committee members and hard work from community groups and other people who've been employed by council to do this. It's wonderful to see the support from the current residents also to make those connections and to put this lovely walking area to the community to open it up. So I thoroughly recommend the report, and that we put it out to public consultation. It's something that I've been looking forward to a long time, and I'm very pleased to see it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Fox. Don't have anyone else that's let me know they'd like to speak. Are there any further speakers?
Yes, please, Mayor, I'd like to speak.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. It's great to hear the history of this. Often, Councillor Fox, I always look forward to what you bring to the table in regards to the history, because you have, you know, we know that you've been on council for a long time and you bring valuable comments and history to this, and also interesting to see your role in the committee and all the stakeholders that have been involved. And again, just to comment on what other councillors have said, the purpose is to present the draft Northwest Bay multi-user trail feasibility for endorsement to go out for community comment, and the feasibility study that a trail from Longley to Margate is physically possible. However, there are sections of the land across private boundaries which would require further negotiation with landholders. And a key role in the feasibility is for broader community consultation to gauge support for the trail routes and to develop priorities, and I understand direct consultation with landholders adjacent to trails and trails access points is necessary to identify and resolve any issues. So we can see from the study that's been presented to us that there has been a magnificent amount of work put into this. It's important that we do support this. And it really could be, if the federal government ever put forward, or state government put forward some funding around our tracks and trails. They've seen how important they have been to the community during COVID-19 especially. This could be, after we've done this community consultation, which really is at no cost to council other than internal costs in regards to engagement, it could be some shovel-ready projects, and it looks like it's not a whole of project that we could fund. There could be certain sections that we could fund and take, as we mentioned in the Central Kingston strategy, those little wins at a time and little kind of grabs that we could get for funding. So I think, yeah, it's really important. As we know, the tracks and trails have so many benefits to our health and wellbeing for our community. I just had one question in regards to, there was a mention of a stakeholder working group that was mentioned in the report, and I understand perhaps it was a horse riding trails group, so I don't remember the acronym, but I'm just wondering who else was involved in that stakeholder working group.
This is me.
Through you, Mayor, it was largely an internal stakeholder group made up of relevant council staff, including our natural resources management staff, obviously staff from our recreation area, and the Tasmanian Riders Action Committee, which is what the acronym TRAC stands for.
Great. Thank you. I hope other councillors support this report to go out for further community consultation.
Councillor Bastine.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I just have, having walked quite a lot of this area and really enjoyed walking from the Sandfly Oval down that part, which was developed by the Green Army some years ago, which I think was a Liberal Party initiative. I really enjoy this area. There's one little bit that worries me, and that's on page 244, the seven staging of the trail development. In stage three, it says requires negotiation with private landholder regarding the parking area trailhead at the Channel Highway, the bowls club or an individual landowner. And then in the appendix on the community consultation, I notice that, and I know the bowls club hasn't been consulted at all, and I've been there on several occasions when I've noticed cars parking there in the bowls club and people going off and walking along the sides of the river. And I just wonder how we're going to develop this, what really will need to be a reasonably large parking area at the Margate end, considering that we're doing all that development and looking at the bike trail going through to Kingston and all the I think that's the sticking point for me, is how are we actually going to do that part of it? So I wonder if Mr. Smee could comment on that, please.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the area at the Bowls Club has the potential to develop additional car parking. Obviously, we would need to engage more closely with the Bowls Club in relation to that. They have an existing car park which does get used informally by the public, but we recognise that that car park is used by the Bowls Club and is there primarily for the Bowls Club's use. So, you know, there could be some negotiation around expansion of the car park and some shared use when there's not bowls in action. But at this stage, that type of detail is what we'd expect to come out during the consultation process.
I just wonder, to me, this is a really important part of the trail. It's no good building a fabulous trail if we can't have anywhere for people to park their cars to do the trail. And I just think that there's no point in developing the trail and then consulting. I think that this part of it needs to be done very early on. So thank you.
So the speakers. There being none, look, I'd just like to make the point that we at the moment have a lot of master plans and visions and strategies and not much money to pay for any of them. The second stage of, and third stage of Snow Playground, Drew Point Master Plan without any money attached to it. And I guess this is, whilst it, I agree, it's a great project, the going to consultation builds a level of expectation that we are going to be able to develop it, and I suspect that it's going to be a very, very tough one for us to fund. Hopefully we could get some external funding support to do it. I hope we could, but even external funders are going to be struggling for money over the next few years, I think, as well. So that's my only trepidation with this one. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up?
Thank you so much. Thank you. So I just have a question just in regards to your comments, which definitely are valid. I had a question actually on my list around community engagement, because agreeing, the timing of going out for community engagement, and exactly what you said, Mayor, we do have so many projects and strategies on the go. And I'm wondering at all, when we do the consultation and engagement with the community, that we will be very upfront and clear regarding the fact that this is all subject to funding, so that we don't raise any community expectations. I'm just wondering at all if we could have some comment on that, please, Mayor.
From Ms. Wilcox, or...?
I'd say that she would be the most knowledgeable.
Ms. Wilcox. You got a comment, Ms. Wilcox?
Thank you. Yes, through you, Mayor. Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment, and we need to make sure that we do all of our engagements in a timely manner at an appropriate time to ensure that we are talking with people who are in the right frame of mind at that time to give their feedback. So I'll be, there has been an engagement strategy drafted, so I'll be liaising with Sue and Mr. Smee to go through that and go and talk about the timing and when's most appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and I've been very pleased to hear the level of support around the table tonight about this idea, and I am cognizant of the issues raised regarding financing. I will just say, I guess, in development of that idea that I'm pleased that there will be expectations and happy to some extent to realistically and reasonably raise those expectations because it's such a good idea and such a good project and so many people have poured their heart and soul into it for many years. And looking at those list of people who were consulted, I know many of those people have spent a long time talking about this. And having grown up around that area and spent many an hour with my feet in the water walking among the rocks there down at Sandfly at the reserve, it is such a beautiful area and it will be such a treasure for generations to come. And if ever you need something uplifting, you can always look to Appendix 2, the plant species recorded in the trail corridor. What an uplifting and terrific insight into the incredible biodiversity that we have in our municipality and how lucky we are to live in such a wonderful place. And that doesn't even go even an iota towards mentioning the vast cultural history that exists in this area, thousands upon thousands of generations. And I think that this will be a terrific project and I hope that we can precipitate it and move it as speedily as possible. And I am one of those people with high hopes and I think that we should have high hopes. We should have high expectations and a large imagination. And by having these shovel-ready projects and having such well-considered and thought-out reports like the one before us tonight, I think we are placed in good stead to see that nice vision brought to fruition before too long. So thanks once again, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Cordova. The next item. The motion was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. The motion is the Council endorses the release of the draft North West Bay River Multi-Use Trail Feasibility Study for public consultation. We'll go to the vote. We start with Councillor Westwood. If you agree with the motion, please say yes. If you disagree, please say no.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Wass.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
And Councillor Winter is also a yes, which means the motion is carried unanimously. We move on. The next item starts on page 274, and it's the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee meeting held on the 14th of February 2020. The recommended motion on page 275. It's also on screen. Would someone like to move and second that? Councillor Fox.
I'll second that. I would like to move it, but I thought Councillor Midgley actually chaired this meeting. I just wanted to point that out because I was away at the time, but that's fine. Thank you.
Councillor Fox has moved and seconded by Councillor Midgley. Would you like to open debate, Councillor Fox?
Yes, this issue has come out of the fact that the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Group is currently looking to put a plan together and they request some funding to do so. It's quite a difficult project to do, both technically and also electronically. And we're looking to perhaps attract some funding from the Hobart City deal. And this matter was brought to the committee as a suggestion by, I think, Councillor Midgley, and was strongly supported by the committee. And that's why we're bringing this motion to Council tonight and hoping that this will be successful. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Oh, sure. Thanks, Mayor. Yes, I did chair that meeting. Thank you, Councillor Fox, for recognising that. And one of the committee members actually brought the idea of a Kingborough bike plan to the committee and also discussed the city deal funds, and so it was put forward to the committee as an option to perhaps advocate for the funding through the Hobart City deal to be utilised for a bike funding, which actually I mentioned and advocated again for in our budget discussion. I think it's a really important thing. Like many of the strategies and plans that we do across council, it does give us some
planning for the future, the Kingston Central strategy that we considered tonight and passed tonight, as we were aware, had many references to cycling and nodes and connectivity. And without that connectivity, it won't encourage people to get on their bikes and get around and consider, you know, getting out of their car and using other options. So I really hope, I think that we've put a draft forward of listing of items to the Hobart City Deal Fund, and this was included in it. I really hope that they do support this, because it is something that the Bike Committee is very excited about. There's been emails going around. They're looking at Devonport, for example, plans, and they're really looking at a cost-effective idea that will guide the future of positive and more increased biking in Kimbra.
Further speakers? Look, this motion should be supported partly because we're already doing it. In our draft, the last draft we sent, and it's still not, hasn't been endorsed by Cabinet or Council, so it still needs to be endorsed, but in the discussions, and this has been included as part of Kimber's wish list. So we're hoping that we can bring a report back to Council very shortly, which asks Council to endorse our preferred list of projects and then to be considered by the state government. But certainly there's support for this around the Council table, and obviously through the committee. Very much appreciate the fact that we've got a bicycle advisory committee that is putting forward ideas like this, because it's a very good one, and I think it would enhance the city deal that at the very least we're thinking about these projects and hopefully funding some of them as well. To sum up, Councillor Fox.
Well, appreciate the fact that it's already happening, so I recommend the motion. Thank you.
The motion is moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Mitchell, and it's that Council A notes the minutes of the Kimbra Bicycle Advisory Committee, and B submits a request seeking $20,000 funding from the Hobart City Deal funding stream to be used for the development of a new Kimbra bike plan. I'm going to run through the list. If you agree with the motion, please say yes. If you disagree, please say no. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox?
Yes.
Councillor Grace?
Yes.
Councillor Midgley? Yes. Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
I'm going to go to Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Watts?
Yes.
Councillor Reid?
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also a yes. I'm going to go back to Councillor Midgley.
Yes. I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah. That's fine. Sure. So the motion is carried unanimously. We move on now to the next item, which is item 18, and it's confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Before I move on, I'm just going to say farewell to all of our listeners and viewers on Facebook. We appreciate your listening to us for now 3 hours in some cases. Thanks a lot, and make sure you tune in again in 2 weeks' time for another instalment of exciting Monday night viewing. Thank you.